Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Vinnie Caruana. He's the vocalist of New York City's I Am the Avalanche. The veteran act is getting ready to issue its latest LP, The Horror Show, which is out April 10th via the Equal Vision label. In this conversation, Caruana spoke about writing the album, which was inspired in part by the sudden passing of his best friend. He also talked about why he's eager to share this new music with audiences and the story behind one of the album's most arresting lyrics. That's Vinnie Caruana of I Am the Avalanche on Into Music coming up now. I love how the album opens with God's Travel Plans, which is this kind of a little bit of a darker sense of humor to it, talking about passing over the city and so forth.
That song was just that little piece that exists now with no lyrics on it. I was on a plane, and it must be said, on a very strong edible, and I was having a nice time. I was just finishing watching the three-part documentary series about the Gilgo Beach murder. You know, that happened like in our backyard and went unsolved for years. And even though it was on the front pages of our local papers and stuff throughout, like it was just there while we were growing up and watching it and learning all the stuff, all 99% of the stuff I didn't know properly or it wasn't reported to me properly. I finished the last episode and then just jotted down the lines for that song, not knowing it was going to go in there, because that song was taken from being like a segue almost into being a fully fledged rock song into us just dismantling it again. We recorded it as a full rock song, dismantled it, brought it back to just this little ethereal moment, and then I sung those lines over it. And then Brett, who's our drummer and our producer, was like, that should open the record. And we were like, no. A week later, we were like, yes, dude, I think it's the opener. So that song took such a journey from being a 3-minute big rock song to an instrumental segue into the opener of the record.
For the most part, your songs are like so concise. And I wondered like about that process, like how often it is that something comes in and it's got more parts and stuff, and you just kind of sit down and say, okay, I think this just needs to be edited in some way.
Yeah, I mean, you have that luxury if you take a while to make a record, but if you go in there for a few weeks or a month or whatever and just bang it all out, you have to have that moment where of clarity where you realize that. Otherwise, you don't have the benefits of what we did, which is write and record a record over the course of 3 or 4 years, I think. It just went through a lot of stages and just kind of organically happened over time. So we had the benefit of that, where we can kind of examine what we have. Every time we would get back into the studio, we kind of see where we went and take it from there. And also think about, it became a little bit of an obsession, this record, for us in a good way, where we were really into not just writing the songs, but also presenting it in the way that it's presented now and that it will be presented when it comes out. And just the fluid motion of the whole thing and the ups and downs and all the different vibes that are happening. All of that kind of thought went into it. I feel like the first time for us. And I think having the time to do that was definitely beneficial.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a really big fan of those records where it never seems like there's a moment wasted, where it's just like maximum impact. And it's like, oh, I want to go back and listen to that again because there was nothing that I didn't like about it.
Ah, God, that's the dream. And I love those records too. Like I had that experience with I was just discussing it earlier today, the new Converge record. I was just like, I sometimes I forget to just do what I did when I was younger, where it's just like fucking tune everything out and just put on a whole record. And I did that with the Converge record on a on a series of subway. I was like traveling to meet my wife in the city and took a few trains in. And that feeling of listening to a complete work all at once is that's the way it should be done. I get it. Trust me, I'll put on a mix or a playlist or something and get a lot of different flavors, but to experience a record and really just be there for that whole moment and think, wow, I enjoyed that experience is something I think everybody should do at least the first time.
I know that one of the themes that is kind of explored on this record is grief. But there are also those moments about, you know, the upside of life, the kind of like, man, I'm alive, you know, I get to live and embrace this. And I think that that also becomes accentuated by the fact that it's compact because life is kind of like that. It's like it's gonna be a blink, you know, for all of us.
Our lives are a blink. It doesn't feel like that because we're just on this roller coaster, you know, for as long as we're lucky to be here. But yeah, I mean, I didn't want, despite a kind of just kind of gushing waterfall of emotion and things that I've endured while we're making this record, and my friends and my family have endured, like as much as that is on the forefront of our minds, like I wanted to make sure that this record had more than that. I wouldn't be able to, I don't think that I would enjoy a record where that didn't have layers and didn't go to the places that it goes. And also there should be celebration, you know. It's not even in the roughest times, it's like being on the outside of it and on the inside of it, depending on your day. And like, because you could have said you've gone through something, but you really are going through it still. That it's important to me that there were different feelings on this record, and that there's different, that there is some sunshine that kind of pokes through, and at the right times, going back to like formulating the sequence and the flow of the whole record. And we're hoping that we achieve that.
I definitely think you did.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, it's funny. I was just I guess earlier today I was listening to this interview with a journalist, and he was talking about interviewing Lou Reed, and Lou Reed talking about depression. And this guy had asked him, "How do you deal with that?" And he said, "Well, I look at it like a clock. And like the bottom of the depression is 6 p.m., but I know I'm going to hit 12 eventually."
Wait, is 12 deeper into
Oh,
depression,
no.
or we're talking about, oh, it's going to a height, not a trough. Yeah, a peak, not a trough. Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like the way I need to apply that. I need to remind myself of that.
I mean, when you're in the depths of something, it eventually there has to be relief, whatever that looks like. And sometimes it's really incremental, and sometimes it's gargantuan.
Yeah, definitely. Thank God for it. I don't know if we could take just nonstop, just getting pummeled by waves, you know? We drown. Yeah, those the glimmers of there is light out there. We just need to keep continuing to find it, right?
So in that process, if you're going through something heavy, does it take time for you to think about like expressing it in lyrics? Like, this is still pretty raw right now. I don't know if I want to go out and sing this and sing this for the next 20 years. Or is it best to get the raw stuff out and just live with it?
I didn't write for probably, I probably didn't write for like 2 or 3 months after like complete catastrophe entered the scene. And I was afraid it was gonna go one of two ways. It was gonna be like, oh, I'm never gonna get this done, because I was staring at like a bunch of music that we had written that needed lyrics. So it was either like, I'm never gonna get this done, or this is going or I'm going to get this done despite, and I need to get this done for me and for my friends and for my family. And so I decided to go through it, and I really don't know who that guy was and how he had the strength to do that, because that's not the person I feel like. I don't feel strong currently. I don't feel strong at all. And I haven't sung this stuff yet. I sung it in the studio with Brett, our drummer and producer, just sitting there through the window. And that was hard enough to do. It's hard enough to write it, hard enough to track it. I have no idea what, I mean, I'm going on tour in like 2 weeks. We'll see. I'm going to try to use that strength that I've been given that got me through writing and recording this record. I'm going to try to find it, and hopefully I just need to keep the objective in mind, which is to make my people proud. And me crumbling into a just pile of Benny on stage every night is not that. And I do look forward to the challenge, and I am re-energized right now because we've just gone through another winter, and I do feel like I need to get moving. And that's a big, I mean, I'm lucky that I have that vehicle to do this. But this is the final component to, once you get the thing done, you need to go out there and you need to perform it. So this is that's the final stage of this record, and a lot for, obviously it's the final stage for me in my process, in our process, but it's the first stage for everybody else, because we've been living through this and doing it and making it. And now the record comes out April 10th, and everyone's like, cool, this is new. And it's like, I'm at the end of this right now. So hopefully it's the fun end, where and a cathartic, in a cathartic way. Like, hopefully it feels good to be singing this stuff. And I do have a good feeling about being out there. The first tour that we're doing is with our friends in the Menzingers, and them and their whole team and our whole crew, it's just a good mix, and it's a lot of positivity in that world. And I'm going to lean into that and enjoy myself. And hopefully it feels really good to, continue to get it off my chest and get it out there, but also just perform it and feel good and proud about it.
I hear so many people say, when they put out a record, that suddenly the, in some ways, the material stops being theirs. It becomes the audience's material. And I think when you write something like this, it's inevitable somebody's going to connect with it, either in the way that, through experiences that they've had that jibe with yours, or through some other way, they're going to affix some meaning to it that you didn't intend. And I'm sure that that is a powerful feeling when that starts to happen.
Oh God, I hope it happens immediately. Even with just rolling out the singles and stuff, like, I would love to let go of some of it and have it be somebody else's. And I don't mean like somebody else's burden. I just mean like, I would love for it to not just be mine anymore. And these lyrics, I'd love for some other people to take it on board and take it, and for their hearts and souls and minds, and I would just love for them to do with it what they will, and kind of absorb it in their own way, which is why I've just been like, I really don't want to, hey, you want to do a song by song breakdown of the right? I'm like, no, I want people to feel whatever they feel. I want them to put, oh, that's, I can't control any of this. Which is a nice feeling to let go, because I do want them to take it and run with it and enjoy it and feel it. And I really hope that some people do connect with it. I'm satisfied just having written this with my friends, written these lyrics, gotten through that part of it, having the record be done. I'm satisfied with just that. I'll be completely honest. You know, I've been touring and making records for almost 30 years. I'm not waiting for my big break. I'm in it for this kind of stuff. I derive so much joy, and it helps me so much as a human being, being able to have an outlet like this. So I'm already, this record's a massive success in just an exercise of strength that's you were given. Like I said, I'm not that guy today at all. Not. I honestly think it took years off my life, but that was what something another discussion I had like a month ago, where I was just kind of like, if I could get those years back by performing it and just getting the, you know, I feel like the soul has been a little bit deteriorated on the soul level, and I would love to get some of that back. So if that's been depleted, maybe we can, maybe I can, maybe getting out and performing it will give me some of that back.
If it's okay, I wanted to ask about a pretty specific lyric, the lyric about, I hadn't heard my mother cry, right, in some time. And that was really arresting to me, because there comes a moment where something happens and your parents, who maybe you saw them as like godlike creatures, or maybe you are aware of their frailties, but there's that one fragility that comes out, and it's a lot to bear because you're not expecting it.
Yeah, that song, and that opening line in that song is something, that's something I remember very distinctly. That whole song is pretty stream of consciousness, so it kind of rambles into like different periods in my life and different moments, but that opening line is, my mother's pretty tough. She's had a chip on her shoulder from, I don't think she'd mind me saying, I don't really discuss her. But I don't discuss any of this stuff. But now that we've made this record, I have to. That line comes from having to explain to my parents when COVID happened. We were making an Avalanche record that we put out and didn't tour on. And we were just getting acquainted with what this all was. And there was a realization that to protect my parents, we weren't going to be seeing them. That was something that I explained to my mom that maybe had not occurred to her. It maybe occurred to me a little bit earlier than it occurred to her. And maybe I had just read a bunch of articles being like, so what's a pandemic? And like, oh, so what's really happening here? And we didn't really know, but we found out pretty quick and continued to find out how much things were changing. And that was like, yeah, I've heard my mother's voice tremble on the other end of the line, and it shook me. And I was just like, holy shit, I have not heard that in a while. And it affected me, and I wrote it down and kind of went into this place where my friends in California were like, you should come out here and just like be out here for all this. And I'm like, well, I have my wife and I have my family and I have all this shit over here in New York. And I don't even think I'm legally allowed to come there right now. And it's just like, ah, oh, the things that just get taken from you. And it's just like, you know, I don't think anybody wants to talk about the pandemic anymore, but yeah, that line really did come from that realization and my mother's realization of like, what do you mean? You know what I mean? Like, I go there every single week and hang and help and have meaningful time with my mom, like, you know, very regularly. So that line and that song kind of, I'm really glad that that made that song and that moment in time was captured. Because some of that stuff wasn't addressed because the record that we wrote and recorded called Dive that came out in 2020, which we never toured on and stuff for obvious reasons, everything unfolded after we turned the masters in for that record. So I think there was still a few things that I had written in my notebook where I wanted which I wanted to address.
Yeah, it was we can move on from it, but it was, you know, at the start of that, my mom was 84. She died at 86, but there was a moment like in early 2020 where I thought I might not see my mom again, you know? And that was like a, oh crap.
Oh my God. That's a scary thing to think. And a helpless thing, you know. That and if I go, and if I selfishly do go and see her, I could be the one to, you know, ugh, I'm happy those days are over. We have new horrors to fixate on now. Oh, life.
Well, and that's why I love the title of the album, because I was like, it can be.
It
Be a horror
can
show.
be, yeah. It can be, yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit. I'm glad there's some sunlight peeking through with this record, because I didn't want to. None of us wanted to go. Nobody wants to go there for 100% of the time, so. I'm glad we got some depth and some layers to this record for sure.
You've been listening to a conversation with Vinnie Caruana of I and the Avalanche. The band's latest album, The Horror Show, is out Friday, April 10th via Equal Vision. The group is also currently out on the road, and you can view all kinds of information about them via their official website, iamtheavalanche.net. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments via info@kmuw.org. And as always, we'd like to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torrin Anderson. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.